In Holy Scripture, we learn that the history of man from the very beginning is a religious history. It is the history of those who worship God authentically, like Abel, or those who worship God in an inauthentic manner, like Cain. And today, our Lord is trying to bring all those to a most profound understanding, indeed, the culmination of the religious history of mankind. And so, St. John begins by pointing out that those who are deliberately ignorant of truths always find fault in the subtle doctrines of truth and foolishly strive to tear it to pieces. And so, our Lord would strive this day to overcome those who would try to tear to pieces that most subtle of all doctrines. And by subtle, we do not mean that God deliberately makes them complicated, but by subtle here, we mean that we are dealing with mysteries beyond the comprehension of human reason, unaided by the grace of God. And so, our Lord tries to point out that they should have been eager to learn and to have searched diligently into the things that he has spoken of, and not to have risen up and called hard that which they should have marveled at. For today, our Lord, in the sixth chapter of St. John, brings to culmination all that was pointed to in the Old Testament. He reveals to them the mystery that was hidden from of old, that if we were to have true life, then that life must be attained through the Eucharist. That is, we must eat his body and drink his blood. And because they did not have spiritual eyes or spiritual ears to discern this truth, they accuse the Lord this day of trying to teach the doctrine of cannibalism, because they did not see these divine mysteries and what they were pointing to. And so, today the Lord teaches us that those who wish to hear the divine mysteries must be wise exchangers, that is, wise bankers, so that they discern and approve the true coin from the counterfeit coin, that is, the true Savior from all the false saviors of the world. And indeed, it would be God the Father himself who would point to us the true coin, for he will say of his Son, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so, we must listen to the Lord if we are to gain that understanding that the human soul was created for, and ultimately, if we are to gain that kingdom by which he came to redeem us and open the doors closed by the sin of mankind. And so, our Lord, understanding the thoughts of these men, seek to heal them again, leading them by the hand to the mysteries that they are ignorant of. And so, the Lord is essentially saying to all those who do not comprehend the doctrine of his real presence, "Very foolishly are you men offended by my words. Rather, you should listen and ponder them." And so he tries to give them an example that many of them would see their very self. And so we see that all the mysteries of Christ's life on earth in some way point to that marvelous, most marvelous of mysteries that will perdure until the end of time, that he is truly present amongst us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. And so he seeks to remove this ignorance by giving them an example, that if my body cannot give life as you believe, because it is not of its nature to give life, what will your response be when you see it soar like an eagle to the Heavenly Father? For it is also contrary to the nature of the body to soar amongst the heavens. But in the ascension, those present this day would see that very mystery transpire before their very eyes. And so our Lord is trying to teach them to be more discerning, to look with spiritual eyes on the mysteries that he is revealing, not, as it were, to look at all things in an earthly way, in a fleshly way. And so, out of all of the events of Holy Scripture, this event and this teaching gets to the very heart of the Catholic faith, that is, the Eucharistic real presence of Christ and the identity of the sacrifice, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, with the sacrifice of the cross. Mankind has always and everywhere worshipped God by sacrifice, and when mankind failed to offer true sacrifice, God would reorganize his family. He would save them through many miraculous interventions, and ultimately he would call Moses in order that Moses would refound the true sacrifice offered to God, so that the chosen people in signs and symbols were offering those sacrifices that today our Lord reveals were pointing to the ultimate sacrifice. And so Christ himself would refound again the sacrifice pleasing to the Father. And indeed, he will teach them that in this sacrifice, he himself is both the victim offered, and at the same time, he is the high priest offering the victim. And so he teaches us of his love, that he sacrificed himself and allowed all that would transpire against that sacred humanity to transpire because it was his will to offer himself for our sake. And so the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the fulfillment of the religious history of mankind, and hence it in it alone points to us our destiny. That is, we were called not, as Scripture tells us, for happiness in this life, but for happiness in that life to come. And that happiness is attained by way of entering into the mystery of the sacrifice. Indeed, St. Paul tells us in the second reading that the love a husband must have for his wife is a love that must imitate the love of Christ, and so it must be a Eucharistic love, a total giving of himself for the sake of his family, as Christ gave himself totally for the sake of the human family. And so every mystery that members of the mystical body enter into must be a mystery imbued with a love of the sacrifice of Christ, and hence a love of the sacrifice of the cross. And St. Peter this day will teach us the most profound of responses, for today St. Peter shows himself to be a man of eminent common sense, for he declares with his statement, "Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That is, "I do not fully understand what you are saying, Lord, but I know you are a man of truth because, as he formerly declared, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so I will remain with you, not seeking, as it were, to delve into this by the use of my reason alone, but learning from you the marvels of this mystery and what will transpire in the soul who does not depart from him." And so the Lord gave no excuses. He asked simply whether we would leave or whether we would stay. And indeed, we see this repeated over and over again in human history. For the chosen people were called out of Egypt, and when first they came to the promised land, they rebelled. For when they went in to reconnoiter the land, they came out with stories of fierce men, savage men, who sacrificed their children, and indeed involved themselves in true cannibalism. And so Joshua had to try to overcome this, for they sought to return to Egypt. For when we choose to live in the darkness, we do not see, even though it is before our eyes. They thought the fierce men in Canaan to be worse than the fierce men in Egypt, but ultimately they were both the same, because both of them were imbued with philosophies that were contrary to life, and Christ came to give that one philosophy of life, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there is no life in us unless we enter in to that mystery of his presence among us until the end of time, that mystery of the Eucharist. Here, St. Peter chooses to stay with the Lord. He will commit many faults and failings, but he will be always a man of great common sense, because ultimately he will always come back to the Lord, because, as he understood this day, you and you alone, Lord, have the words of eternal life. And so let us be strengthened by this truth, for our Lord truly has the words of eternal life. And if we remain faithful to him in this life, then he will remain faithful to us in the life to come. And we see this most clearly in the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. For when our Lord's physical presence, that is, the presence where you could discern a man was present because you could see him in the flesh, was no longer present, the Mother of God, too, was nurtured on his Eucharistic presence. And so we see the ultimate fruit of the Eucharistic presence, for she would enter into that eternal abode in her Assumption, and her body would not be touched by corruption. Our bodies will, because we are not of that order that exempts us from original sin. But we know that one day we truly will rise if we are nurtured on the true food. And so our Lord is telling us, do not seek for the leeks in the onions of Egypt, but seek for that food that does not perish, that food that is more abundant than the manna that flowed down to our forefathers in the desert, that manna that is the true manna of God the Father, that manna that will continue to come down from heaven until the end of time through the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the pinnacle and the culmination of all human history. And all human history past will be judged by how it looked forward to the crucifixion of Christ. Today, we see many rejecting that, but we also see many accepting it. And all generations after the crucifixion will be judged in according to how they respond to that mystery. Do they reject it and seek their happiness, that is, their food for this journey outside of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, or do they humbly present themselves with their faults and failings and their sins, constantly seeking from him and him alone those graces necessary to work out our salvation in fear and trembling? So let us truly rejoice this day, for the Lord has begun to unravel those mysteries hidden from the dawn of time, but revealed, and most especially revealed, when our Lord will declare to his heavenly Father at the height of his suffering, it is consummated. That is, Father, I have loved them to the end. Now give them life. Give them life in that presence that is the greatest and most marvelous of all mysteries. That in the Eucharist, the Savior truly is with us, truly our captain, guiding us through this veil of tears to the shores of eternity. And he has entrusted those mysteries to the one whom this day shows himself to be a man of eminent common sense, Saint Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Those words would be entrusted to Peter, and he will guard them to the end of time. And we can be confident in this because we do not believe it simply because it is proven to us beyond a shadow of a doubt by the use of human reason, but it is proven to us by way of love. For the Lord has taught us these things, and he has asked us to make an act of faith in him. We cannot possibly figure out the mysteries of our faith totally in this life, for then there would be no room for faith. But if we go forward in this life truly believing in him, then he will show us what it means for God to believe in us, for he will bring us to that home that was created for us from all eternity, that is, the heavenly abode, where with the Mother of God and all the angels of saints, we will marvel at that mystery, but not in its hidden presence, for there we will not see him masked under the appearance of bread and wine, but we will see him as he is, the joy of our souls.
Christus.